Okay, we started last night's Tfilas HaDerech. I can't believe we didn't finish it. I completely lost track of time. So let's try to get moving a little weiter in the sugya of Tfilas HaDerech and really start the sugya and hopefully get to some halacha conclusion. Not going to have shiur for that long tonight because I have another shiur in shul. But so essentially we had one basic chakira yesterday. The basic chakira is, what is the yesod of Tfilas HaDerech? Because Tfilas HaDerech said upon an encounter with sakana, where a person, or at least a sense of an encounter with sakana, a person feels that he was in danger, that there was some threat to him, or it feels derech. No, it's a din derech. It has nothing to do with sakana. You go on a derech, and by derech has inherent sakana, whatever the sakanas are that are associated with derech. But it doesn't have to be that you feel afraid in any way. It could be something that you do all the time. And it's just a din in derech. And we saw that there are poskim on either side of this equation. You have certainly Rav Soloveitchik, who held that when he first started traveling back and forth from Boston to New York, would always say Tfilas HaDerech, because it was still scary, it was still a big deal to go on a plane. But once he started doing it so much, it became something that he didn't even think twice about, and then he stopped saying Tfilas HaDerech, because if there's no sense of an encounter with Sakana, then there's no Tfilas HaDerech. Whereas others, Deborah Tzina Rav, and others have held that no, it's a din in Derech, and the Ragachover, based on that one sharp comment that all of the Achronim talk about, where the Ragachover said that going on an airplane is, you don't say Tfilas HaDerech because it's Derech Shamayim Ikri, but it's not called Derech according to the Gemara Nechulin Kuf Lamed Tes. So then you would hold that it's a din in derech. You wouldn't hold it as anything to do with sakana per se. So we started to take a look yesterday at Rav Vazner. Rav Vazner and Shevet Alevi Chelek Yud Simin Chaf Aleph, which is source number 14. So Rav Vazner says, Hinei, Talmud Chacham Echad Hitzia Daito. There was a certain Talmud Chacham that expressed an opinion. De Bizman Hazeh Ein Levarich Tfilas HaDerech Bebrach Limaskaras Hashem. That nowadays we should no longer say Tfilas HaDerech with Shem HaMalchus. Now, in general, also worthy of discussion is Tfilas HaDerech a bracha or is it a tefila? We call it Tfilas HaDerech, but Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tfila. Right, it's a bracha also. So is it primarily a bracha and should it follow the dinim of brachos? Or is it primarily a tefila and follow the dinim of tefilos? Okay, well, keep that in the back of your mind as we go weiter. So he says, someone said that we should say it without Shema Malchus. Why? Heyos shabaharbe drachim yeshram yeshuvim samuch ledrachim betoch parsel derech. Because it's very hard to find something that is halachically a real derech. Part of being a derech is that you need to go out of Parsa without any homes on either side of the road. And even when you go on major roads, there are very often homes that are not that far away, and therefore we're very rarely on a real derech. Valo nifsak should be gil toch parsa lir shuv lo yuchal levarich. And we paskin la'alacha that ad parsa, which at the very least means that when you're within a parsa of your destination, by that time it's too late to say tefilas haderech. So you're always within a parsa of a city, of a potential destination, because there are always cities wherever you go. Vayishuvim kayom tsmudim shekayotzei me'ir achas ritzoni mipirsas he'ir shuv hu toch pirsa liad acheres parseinu akadosha. He says the way in Eretz Yisrael, at least the way the communities are set up, is that as soon as you're out of one city, you're already right within the borders, or very close to the borders of another city. So that's what this Talmud Chacham suggested, says Rav Vazner. What do I think about this? V'libi lo kein yudama. He says, I don't think this is correct. D'toch parso lo muskar rakish ayotse me'iro v'adayin toch parso li'iro sh'adayin lo chalo lov chiyuv brachazu d'toch samach li'ir lo shchichi chayos v'listin. He says, no, what's the din in parsa? And we're going to have to see what Rishonim have to say about this. The din in parsa is not what the Gemara referred to, the din that you only say tefilas derech ad parsa. It doesn't mean that when you're within a parsa of your destination, that's when you can no longer say tefilas derech. What it means is that until you're a parsa away from your point of departure, you can't say tefilas derech, because whatever threats there are out on the road don't exist within the first parsa. meaning or at least aren't common within the first parsa. And tefillas haderech should only be said when those threats are common. So that's the din of parsa. And obviously, if you're already at your destination, you can't make a bracha. But if you have a person who's traveling and he's driving through one small town after another town after another town, but he's going, he may see along the highway tons of exits with the names of all sorts of different towns, but he's going far away, he's going his destination is a long ways away. So you have the same sakana of taking a long trip as you would if there weren't all these towns along the way. What are the sakanas? It's no longer chayos ra'os. It's no longer, except for Rav Schoenbrock's definition of chayos ra'os, it's no longer the listim per se. Even though carjacking in certain communities is a concern. When I was in YU, one of the when you got off, not the cross Bronx, I don't know, one of the highways, you had to, I think, coming off maybe by the Harlem River, I don't remember exactly where, there was one red light where one of the rabbanim in Yeshiva paskin that you shouldn't stop at that red light. There was sakana to stop at that red light. Just keep going. Just go. it was such a pachad, such a sakana. Rav Shechter was carjacked once. He was around the neighborhood, someone was driving him somewhere in their father's Mercedes, to his shir, and they were carjacked. So, okay. Anyway, you have this approach of Rav Asner is that it doesn't matter if there are cities around you, because by definition you have the same sakanos. If there are cities around you, if there are no cities around you, by going a very great distance, you're going to have all of the same sakanos. So it doesn't matter if there are cities around you at all. So he says, "V'risi mishum bura bebir alachas im kofyutchen stapik bekazev v'hiniach b'tzarachiyun uba aniyusi stima saposkim kumfurish to chayv b'tfilas haderech v'gam time of the mistaveru." He says, "I think you'd be chayv in tfilas haderech." So what's the nekuda over here? Why should it matter if there are cities around or not? So this may also tie into our chakira, meaning if part of the definition of a derech is that it's away from civilization, that that's the definition of what we call a derech, and that's what the tefillah is for. The tefillah is for a derech per se, whatever we halachically define as a derech. So then, in a chinami, maybe in many places in Eretz Yisrael, you don't actually have a derech because you're just in many highways, you're just passing by one city after another city after another city, and there are always communities on either side of the highway. So maybe then, if that's the yisod, then maybe you wouldn't say tefillah's derech. But if it's a din in whatever sakana is prevalent on the derech, and there are plenty of sakanas prevalent on highways, let's say, so maybe you would argue that it doesn't matter how many cities there are, as long as the sakana is the same as if there were no cities there, which it is, you would still say tefillas haderech. So what you have is, it's one basic chakira, but there are a lot of possibilities within either side. Meaning, although Rav Shechter takes the approach, Rav Soloveitchik takes the approach that it has to be a sakana, they would not suggest that when you get in a car and drive on a highway that passes by 10 different cities, that you would say tefillas haderech. Why? Because you don't feel anything. So you could hold the sakana side of the equation and still have room to argue within the sakana side. How do you define sakana? Is sakana defined as the natural sakanos that are associated with travel? Or is sakana defined as something that you feel a sense of pachad from? Rav Soloveitchik seemed to assume it has to do with the sense of pachad, whereas Rav Asner seems to assume it's definitely sakana related, but it's not a sense of pachad kind of sakana, it's the natural sakanos that are associated with travel. Meaning the question begs itself, if there were really a sense of pachad, if this were really an issue of sakana, how are you allowed to go on the road in the first place? You're not allowed to put yourself in sakana. So obviously we're dealing with a very minimal sakana. We're dealing with with the kind of sakana about which we would say that Shomer Pesayim Hashem, that this is how normal people behave. The Gemara says in a couple of places that how are you allowed to do X, Y, and Z? Aren't you worried about the sakana that's associated with it? The Gemara, for instance, in Nida says that there were Talmidei Chachamim that were makpid. It used to be, the Gemara in Nida assumes, that there were two types of pregnancies that a person could have. This is definitely a nishtana hativim kind of situation where it can't be that they were wrong in their science because it's something observable. It's just that it was nishtana hativim, the teva changed. But it used to be that a woman, the two types of pregnancies, that a woman could either give birth in a 7-month pregnancy or a 9-month pregnancy. If the woman gives birth in the 8th month, the baby's dead. There's no way the baby's going to live. It's a nafel. Woman gives birth in the 7-month pregnancy, so meaning after 7 months or within the or in the 7th month. So that's one type of pregnancy. That's a viable pregnancy. It's an accelerated pregnancy. And then there's the standard pregnancy of the 9-month pregnancy. And the Gemara Nida assumes that yoledes l'shiva, yoledes l'mekutain, yoledes l'tisha, eina yoledes l'mekutain. Very counterintuitively, the Gemara assumes that if a woman is on the track of having a 7-month pregnancy, so baby could be born even a few days or a few weeks early and will still be fine. Yoledes l'mekutain. But if she's on track for a 9-month pregnancy, the 270-day pregnancy, so then the 271-day pregnancy, so then yoledes l'tisha, eina yoledes l'mekutain. It can never happen early. Any baby born in the 9th month is not full term, and it's going to be a big problem. So it's not going to be well. It's going to be a major issue, which is very much against the Metzius Bizman Hazeh. So in that context, the Gemara discusses the concept that Shichva Zera, in order for Shichva Zera to impregnate a woman, takes up to 3 days for the Zera to actually be collate, to actually latch on to the egg and to impregnate the woman. It could take up until 3 days. After 3 days, the Zera is not potent anymore, it's not able to do anything. This has ramifications in Halachas of Tumen Tara. After a woman has Tashma Shemitah, how long did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Klal Yisrael before Har Sinai to stay away from their wives? For 3 days. Why for 3 days? It was for the tumma of the women. Because for a man, if he's a balkari, 1 day. You go to the mikveh and that night you're tahar. So we're worried about man being a balkari. Why do you need 3 days? It's for the tumma of the women. If a woman is what's called poleta shichva zera, she has shichva zera dripping out of her body, it's metamiher. The shichva zera could be metamiher as it drips out of her body, but only while it's still shichva zera. And it's only still shichva zera for 3 days. This is even nogei halacha lemaisa, but not for right now, in the way we practice Hilchas Nida, but again, not for right now. But in that context, the Gemara says, so there were certain Hasidim Arishonim that were makbid not to have tashmish on, I think it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because they cheshbind that if the zera is kolate, and then you count 270 days from today, tomorrow, and the next day, from whenever they have tashmish, because it could be the zera has a 3-day window, and then you have the 270 days, then the baby's going to be born on Shabbos. And if the baby's born on Shabbos, then they need to be Mechal Shabbos. Right? And you know, if you could avoid Chil Shabbos, avoid Chil Shabbos. So have your tashmish on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Don't have it on Wednesday, Thursday. I may be getting it backwards. I'm not doing the cheshbon right now of exactly how it would fall out on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the Chassidim HaRishonim would do like that. So the Gemara says, great idea. Why don't we all do like that? You do what you do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us from any sorts of these kinds of issues, and even issues that may relate to Sakama the Gemara talks about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect. You live life like a normal person. You do things that are normal people accept as normal acceptable risk. And then you're okay. So that's the context of Tefillah Sederach. It can't be that your mom is putting yourself in sakana every single time. Because if that were the case, if it were an issue about real sakana, a real genuine concern of sakana, so any time you're a shluchi mitzvah, you wouldn't have to say Tefillah Sederach. Because shluchi mitzvah ain't a nizakin, right? Anytime you're shluchi mitzvah, you wouldn't have to say Tefillah Sederach. Or maybe you could argue, no. Shluchi mitzvah are nizakin, are ain't nizakin. The Gemara Pesachim tells us, Tavchesam and Beis, shluchi mitzvah ain't a nizakin, but heichod ishchiach hezei kashayni. That when Hezek is very common, right, where does the Gemara ask from? I think by Shmuel. I may be wrong about this, but I think the Gemara asks by Shmuel, that Shmuel was afraid Yishmeini, Echelech, how could I go to go anoint David as king? If Shaul hears V'Yargeni, Shaul is going to kill me. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do something. Shluchim Mitzvah in Nizakin. What do you worry about any Hezek? So Gemara says, no, Shchiyah Chazeka. It's normal if a king hears that you're going to anoint another king that he's going to want to kill you. So that's called Shchiyah Chazeka. That's called a case of Shchiyah Chazeka. So you can say Betfilas Sederach. You can say that Manavshach. If it's a case of Shchiyah Chazeka, so then he has no business traveling on this road. He shouldn't be taking that kind of risk. And if it's not Shchiyah Chazeka, so any Shluchim Mitzvah should never have to say Betfilas Sederach. So you see that it's hard to relate it directly 100% to sakana, meaning, or I shouldn't say it that way. What I say is the definition of sakana for Tefillas Haderech is not necessarily the same definition as the definition of sakana for Shluchei Mitzvah, and that's not necessarily the same definition of sakana for Birch Sagoma, right? for shluchei mitzvah, the definition of sakana is probably mira matzui, that if there is a reasonable minority, more than 10% chance that you're going to run into trouble, that's the definition of sakana. For birchsa gomel, it's an experience where you actually encountered something, and after the fact you say birchsa gomel. And for tefillas haderech, it's the sakanos associated with the road. Which sakanos? How much sakana? How much fear? So that there are degrees amongst the poskim, as we've seen already. You know how much to be concerned about that. Okay, so. So in terms of using Shema Malchus, Rav Vasner seems to assume that you certainly would use Shema Malchus, that generally speaking, we try not to get out of saying brachos that Chazal have instituted. But let's go back to this inyan that Rav Vasner alluded to, but we never really saw in the Rishonim yet. The Gemara had said that, remember the context was, that when do you say Tfilas HaDerech? Misha Shema Halich B'Derech. From the time you go out on the road, Ad Kama, Am Rav Yaakov, Am Rav Chista, Ad Parsa. Until how much? Until a parsa. Zakt Rashi. What does that mean? Ad parsa? Says Rashi, source number 16. Avalola achar shahalach parsa. You should no longer say tefillas haderech once you've already traveled the parsa. Ubalachas, meaning, in the first parsa of your journey, you need to say tefillas haderech. So the second you hit the road, and the road being defined as outside of the city limits, let's assume, right? That's where you start saying Tfilas HaDerech, but you have to say it within the first parsa. If you missed the first 2.5 miles and you didn't say Tfilas HaDerech, says Rashi, too late, you missed out on Tfilas HaDerech. What's the svara? So before we get to the svara, let's see the other shita. Ubalachas gedolos mefarish, Rashi himself quotes from the Bahag, Ad kam yivakesh leilich sheitzarech lispalel, ad parsa. How long of a trip do you have to plan on taking in order to have a requirement to say Tfilas HaDerech? The entirety of the trip has to be a parsa in order to require Tfilas HaDerech. If the trip is less than a parsa, then there's no Tfilas HaDerech. That's how the Bahag understands. Afilu ein lelech el ad parsa. Aval derech pachos mi parsa in tzarech lespal tfilazu. But if you're going on a trip that's less than a parsa, so then there's no need to say this tefillah. Now that's the way Rashi quotes the Bahag. If you look at, is the Rush quoted? The other Rishon will quote the Bahag also. Yeah, take a look at the Rush. Amos Matzila, Am Rav Yaakov, Am Rav Chizim, Mishosh Yochas B'derech, Velkam Ad Parsa, Bahag Kosav, Mi Sheyesh Lelech, Parsa Oyosar Yivarech, Avol Pochus Mi Parsa Eino Mivarech. Now, I don't know about you, I wasn't sure if Rashi and the Rush are quoting the same thing from the Bahag. The way I read Rashi was it sounded like, your trip has to be in total of a parsa. Right? The Rush quotes the Bahag, someone who has to go still, a parsa or yoser, should be mevarech. But not if you have less than a parsa to go. Meaning, that it's not a shear in the entire trip, it's a shear in what? How much do you have left on the trip? Right? That's the way it sounds from the Rush. The Yesh Mefarshim Ad Kama Nidonos Abachiz Zedaris V'yachol Varchoso Ad Parsakolom B'tov Parsak Rishon Yachol Omer Avlach Parsak Lo, he says, and then some say like Rashi, V'nir Apirish Halachos Gedolos Iker Im Yesh L'Adayin L'Lechas Harbei Lomelo Yivarech Avl Kish Yesh L'Lelich Pachos Miparsak B'kor V'l'ir Lavi Mokom Sakana V'in Tzarech L'Varech. And then it gets even more clear at the end of the Rush that the Bahag is clearly saying, if you have less than a parsa to go. Right? At the end of the Rush, he's extremely clear. He says, Nir Pirsha Halachas Gedolos Iker, Im Yeshlo Adayon Lo Leches Harbei. If you still have a lot to go on your trip, why not make a bracha? What's called a lot to go? A parsa. Yeah. Right, meaning it sounds from the Bahag that you wouldn't need to wait at all to say it.
It can be all the same, and then that would be the same according to the Rashi and the Rush, meaning there's different sides of the same coin. Rashi's saying that the Rush is saying that the Bahag is saying.
It could be the Bahag holds both.
Exactly, it could be the same thing. It could be the same as the Shita, or it can be our guy.
Right, but you don't know necessarily from the Rush that the Bahag would hold that the Shir of an entire Derech is a Parsa.
Exactly, why not? It could be the minimum. Meaning, obviously, if you have to have a parsa left, there must be at least a parsa in your trip.
I see. Meaning, a parsa is worth davening for. So the two sides of the same coin. That a parsa is worth davening for. So if your whole trip is a parsa, meaning if you're going to daven on a parsa left, then when the whole trip is a parsa, you'd also daven. Could you argue? But you might argue that you could hold like Rashi's definition of the bag and not hold the rushes, because it could be that it's mistaver to daven on a trip that's a minimum of a parsa. But once you're almost done with the trip, then it's too late to say tefillah sederich, even if there's more than a parsa left. It could be. Let's say no. Now I'm starting a new trip. Meaning that maybe this should count as a new trip, but how mistami, you can't do that unless you're leaving your house. You can't call that a new trip. So it could be they're two sides of the same coin, but it's not mukhrach, I don't think, that they're two sides of the same coin. Now, according to Rashi, so Rashi says you have to say it at the beginning of your trip. Is that ma'akev? Is that a must? If you don't say it at the beginning of the trip, are you done? Too late? You don't say it within the first parasa. So if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbi Yonah, source number 18, V'nir l'moriya rav nero, d'vaday ha-perish ha-nachon kachu. Da'ad kama, rotzal amar ad kama v'yachtiza sa-derech. Aval eino kamo sha'om shem lo yisval b'toch parsa lo yisval achar kach. He says, it can't be that if you don't daven within the first parsa, not to daven anything afterwards. She'ze lo yitachein, that's just impossible, to kol zman she'yish l'adayin l'leches, m'chuyifu b'in yinatfila tzricha. If you still have where to go, of course you should still have to daven. Why does it matter that you didn't daven within the first parsa? All Rashi is saying is lechadchila, the best time to say it is within the first parsa. If you didn't say it in the first parsa, even Rashi will be moda. So still say it. And it's similar to what we say by tefillin. Now, demyonos that Rishonim make, when Rishonim make a comparison, that means something to us. Again, we aren't sure what kind of bracha or tefillah sederich is. What is it? Is it a bracha on the road? Is it a birchas hashevach? Is it like a birchas hamitzvah? What is it? So he says it's just like we say by tefillin. Mevarich aleihem mishas hanachasan v'ad shas kshirasan. You can make the bracha from the time you place the tefillin in its proper place in your arm until you tighten it. So let's say you didn't make a bracha. You already put on your tefillin, you didn't make a bracha. So that's it. You lost it. Aval vaday lo b'lemait. No, clearly doesn't mean to exclude she'im shachach v'lo birech ad shas kshira she'lo yivarech leim achar kach. No, it definitely doesn't mean that if you already tied the tefillin on and didn't make a bracha, to just forget about it and not make the bracha. You still haven't taken them off. You're still doing the mitzvah, so you still make a bracha. So long as one is still being mekayim a mitzvah, you should still make a bracha on that mitzvah. And one second. What about over las yasa? So the Ben Yonah says, no, it is over las yasa. It's over las yasa of what? Of the Kima Mitzvah, of every second that you're wearing tefillin. So there's so much in these few words of Rabbeinu Yonah. First of all, does this trouble you in any way?
Yeah? It's mitzvah or a chiyuv d'oraisa. I mean, it seems like it's both.
What's both?
Yeah, it seems like some kind of mitzvah you're doing is like this traveling is a mitzvah, and it's a chiyuv d'oraisa mitzvah. It's like a high-level mitzvah.
Is traveling a mitzvah?
I mean, clearly it's not, so why is he comparing it to
tefillin? Right. I mean, why is this like a birchas mitzvah? It feels like it's bakasha. So say, if I have what to be mevakish still, so I should say tefillah sederach, right? If it's a bakasha, why would you compare it to birchas mitzvah? What is birchas mitzvah? And is he right about birchas mitzvah? What does he say? If halacha l'maisa, I'm asking you right now, you forgot to make a bracha on your tefillin, and you realize your tefillin wrong, what do? You make a bracha just stand without doing anything?
You adjust it.
Why do you adjust it? Because there's no such thing as a bracha on a kiyum mitzvah. A bracha is always on a ma'isa mitzvah. If you have a kiyum mitzvah without a ma'isa mitzvah, it's a bracha. Rav Shechter, Neretz HaTzvi, Simon Gimel, has raya achar raya that this is the case. For instance, Machlokas Rishonim, Sfiras HaOmer. One mitzvah or 49 separate mitzvahs? Why didn't any of the Rishonim just wake up and say, hello, there are 49 separate brachos? Obviously it's 49 separate mitzvahs. No? Elamai. There are 49 separate brachos because there are 49 separate actions that you do. 49 separate times that you speak the words of Svira. But it could still be one kiyum. Brachos aren't nitkan on a kiyum a mitzvah. They're nitkan on a maisa mitzvah. Rishachta discusses how the Rambam has a stira in the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Mishnah Torah in regards to how to view charoses. So Mishnah talks about whether charoses is a mitzvah. So the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayis says it can't be because we don't make a bracha on it. We don't make a bracha on charoses, so it can't be a mitzvah. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says charoses is a mitzvah to have on the shulchan and nothing about a bracha. It's my hay. The Rambam Lishitaso. You want to change your mind, that's fine. And say it is a mitzvah, but you're going to tell me that it can't be a mitzvah because if there was a mitzvah, it needs a bracha. And then you're going to turn around and tell me, I changed my mind, it is a mitzvah. Good, so where's your bracha? So what's pshat? It's in the words of the Rambam himself. The Rambam says that charoses, when the Rambam Mishnah Torah says that charoses is a mitzvah, he says, what's the mitzvah? Li'os al ha-shulchan. For it to be on the table. That's not a maisa. And therefore, there's no bracha. In the Pirush HaMishnayis, the Rambam was saying, oh, if charoses is a mitzvah, then it's got to be a bracha. Because the Rambam was envisioning charoses as a maisa mitzvah of eating charoses, a maisa achila. So then there would need to be a bracha. And you would need to eat a kazayis of it. What changed is then he then realized, no, maybe it is a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah that involves a maisa. It's just a mitzvah to have there. Rabbeinu Yonah is assuming that we say a birchas a mitzvah on a kiyum. Just the fact that something is continuing to happen. If we accept his comparison, maybe his comparison is his undoing. Because what's he trying to prove? You could be on the road and you're going for a long time already. And you still say Tefillas HaDerech, because it's still going. The road is still going. But if you really want to compare it to a Birchas HaMitzvah, maybe we should take that comparison full circle and say it like this. A Birchas HaMitzvah is not on the continuing kiyum that you get. Yeah, it's going on for hours and we're in tefillin all day, continuing kiyum. No, what's it on? That initial maisa. And you know what tefillas haderech might be on? Not the fact that, yeah, I'm still traveling, still going. It's setting out on the road. It's leaving town, leaving home, going on the road. That's what the bracha is on. If you really want to make the comparison, then maybe that's where the comparison should be made. It should be a Raya Lehepech. If you really want to make the comparison. That it should only be when you go out on the road. Just like a Birchas HaMitzvah is only on the initial Maisa. And whatever comes afterwards. That without a Bracha. So very, very difficult, Rabbeinu Yonah. That you have Brachas on a Kiyum. And just the comparison. What does the Tefillas HaDerech have anything to do with the Kiyum Mitzvah? Now, there are Rishonim that disagree with Rabbeinu Yonah and say, no, if you didn't make, when Rashi says you got to say it within the first parsa, it means if you didn't say it within the first parsa, it's too late. So now, why, if you didn't say it within the first parsa, would it be too late? What would be the problem? So we just gave one quasi-hesber, that if you want to say it's like a Birchas HaMitzvah, so it's on the initial going out. But why? Why should it be on the initial going out? By a mitzvah, I get it, it's on the Maisa Mitzvah. Right? Well, why should Tefillas HaDerech not on a mitzvah? Why should it only be on the initial leaving? Shouldn't it be on all the dangers that lurk in wherever you're traveling? So what's pshat? Why would it have to be said dafka at the beginning to the point that if you didn't say it at the beginning, you can't say it later? So Pnei Yeshua has a very practical suggestion. Pnei Yeshua writes, Pirush Rashi, Lo la'achar shalach parso, ba'alach skedolz mefarish chulei ad kol shal Rashi, Ukvar hishko kala poskim vam farshim al Pirush Rashi. Demas svara yesh bazeh. Delach hashal of parsa lo yisfal lo tefillas haderech. Why does it make any sense that once you've gone to parsa not say tefillas haderech? Avshe b'day to lay lechod kama parsos, even though you are planning on going way further. L'chein pasku kulam delo ka Rashi. El kapir shalach skadolz, that's why they all reject Rashi, they pask like the Bahag. V'avshe eni kedai, says Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua, as you know, works very, very hard to defend Rashi. Right, the Pnei Yeshua was a grandson of the Magine Shlomo. The Magine Shlomo was, as the name suggests, the protector of Shlomo. He wrote a sefer protecting and defending Rashi. So Pnei Yeshua took the Zaydi's, first he took the Zaydi's title, because the Magine Shlomo wrote a tshuva sefer called Shalos Tshuvos, Pnei Yeshua. So the Pnei Yeshua that we know as the famous Pnei Yeshua is really, he ripped off the title from the Zaydi, right? I'm sure the Zaydi doesn't mind, but you know, that's the Pnei Yeshua. So Pnei Yeshua writes in his Hakdama. We ever do the Hakdama of the Pnei Yeshua? No? Pnei Yeshua writes in his Hakdama that that he wasn't really working on writing a Sefer, but there was a terrible fire in his town. The whole town burned down. He lost children and his wife, and he was trapped under, you know, burning whatever, you know, beams and things. And he took a neder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets him out, that he's going to work hard to defend Rashi, and he's going to write a sefer to defend Rashi. So he said, okay, so here it is, Pnei Yeshua. That's why we were zochet to have a Pnei Yeshua. Unbelievable, no? So he says, V'av she'eni kedai. He says, who am I to get involved in this machlokas? But I will anyway. Soloveitchik didn't like Pnei Yeshua. He felt that, like, it didn't talk like... Pnei Yeshua doesn't talk like a Reb Chaim. You know, it's not like Tzvei Dinim. It's not, you'll see, it's a very different kind of attitude. Someone was telling me that Rav David Lipschitz and Rav Soloveitchik once talking at a chasana, and Rav Soloveitchik said over to Rav David, Zichron Levrach, he told him, my grandfather said a pshat like this. And Rav David said, yeah, Pnei Yeshua says like that. He said, no, I don't think you heard me. And he said over again, my grandfather said a pshat like this. He said, yeah, the Pnei Yeshua says just like that. He said, no. He couldn't have understood me correctly because they're so different in the way that they think. It's impossible. So he says, Mikom Lokom, nearly Yashiv Shitas Rashi, Va'adrab, Dvarv Nechonim Ubrurim V'nimuko Imo. He says, not only is Rashi defendable, Rashi's more logical than the Bahag. The time of Rabbi Ikalomar, Dila'achar Shalach Parsa Huchsak B'derech Mikri. Once you've already gone to Parsa, you're already on the road. Im Kain Ha'amirin Lahedya Perikador, Erevin Daf Samachay, Da'abomin Ha'derech Al Yispalel. Lefi Shein Daitom Yushevus Lav. There's another Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara tells us that if you've just come from a long journey, don't daven right away. Don't go straight from the airport to catch Minyan, because Ein Daitom Yushevus Lav. Your mind's not at ease. If your mind's not at ease after the trip, im kain kol shkein hacha kimin shakvar huchsak b'derech v'rot salaf l'god b'derech. Your mind's certainly not at ease on the trip. You're right in the middle of it. Im kain pshit shein daitom yushevus olav. So you're not going to have daitom yushevus. You're not going to be able to say tefillas l'derech. Very balabatish kind of teretz. No, I mean not balabatish to know the gemara in Erevin, but like a very far. You know, look, of course you should say it, but you can't because you can't have kavana. The Gemara says you can't have kavana. He gives you a marmakam in the Gemara. You can't have kavana, so you're not going to be able to daven. This assumes that tefillah sederich is tefillah. If it's a bracha, which Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, sounds much more like it's a bracha, being that he compares it to birchas hamitzvah of tefillin. Maybe the level of kavana you need for a bracha. You don't need daitum yushevus for a bracha. Does it say anywhere that if you take lulav on the road, not to make a bracha? That if you put on tefillin right when you get back, not to make a bracha? No, you don't get involved in a tefillah because you need daitum yusheves. That could be the nekudas hamachlokas over here. What is tefillah sederech? Is it betoras bracha or betoras tefillah? So anyway, that's how the Pnei Yeshua defends it. That you're not going to be able to focus when you're on the road, and therefore that's why, so as a practical matter, you just have to say it earlier. Okay. Problem is, the Gemara Chavtesim, yeah?
Why is it Ad Parsa then? Why do you have that initial leeway?
Because Ad Parsa, you're not really on the road yet. You're not really on the road. Yeah, apparently. Your mind isn't, you know, you don't feel like it's before the kids are even fighting in the back. You know, it's like, it's when everyone's still happy. You know, it's usually doesn't, I'm usually halfway out the driveway when that happens. But let's say you have a more normal family, Ad Parsa. So okay, the Gemara in Chavtesam and Beis says that Hamahalich b'makom gedude chayev listim mispal tefila katsara. You're going in a place. You're driving through a dangerous neighborhood. There are listim all over the place. That red light that we had the psak to go through. So say a tefila katsara. Wait, I thought Pnei Yeshua just said we can't say any tefilas. I saw a point out, I don't remember who I saw ask this kasha, but it's a pretty strong kasha, no? Tefillah sederech at most is a tefillah katsara. Mispal tefillah katsara means doing a bridge version of Shemona Esrei. So that's definitely tefillah katsara. When the Gemara Nervin says, don't daven right when you get off on the road, it means don't do the whole arichos of davening, because you're not going to have daitim yoshavas to do that. But for a tefillah katzar, so forget about whether it's tefillah or bracha, even if it's tefillah, but it's such a short tefillah. What should be the problem? So that's the Bnei Yeshua's defense. But it could be that there's a better way to defend Rashi over here. Why is it the first parsa? Take a look at the Me'iri. Very, very one-liner. Number 20. Yesh mefarshim. She'im lo birich b'yitziyaso mi'bracha mi'varcha ad parsa misham ve'elach ein ze nimlach bekono ve'ino omra. What's he saying? Tefillas Aderech is not about protect me from dangers so long as dangers still lurk. Like the Bahag says, as long as you still have enough danger ahead of you, it's still worthwhile to say Tefillas Aderech. That's how Tefillas Aderech is. Tefillas Aderech is a matir. It's a matir to travel. Before you leave, HaKadosh Baruch, before you leave, before you do anything major in your life, like taking a big trip, you nimlach by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You discuss it with God first. And it's understood that He says yes. Once you say that tefillah, that He allows you to go. Where would the Me'iri get such a crazy idea that that's what Tefillas Aderech is? So we saw yesterday, that's how the Gemara says it. Right? The Gemara says, where's the Lashon? Ukshata yotze laderech, himalech bekon chavitzei. Himalech. Himalech means check in with, get advice from, get approval from. In this context, we might be able to understand the comparison to Birchas HaMitzvah a little bit better. We've said before, I think we've probably already said this summer a few times, that Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas HaNe'emim may be very much connected to each other in the following way. Rav Soloveitchik points out that we know what Birchas HaNe'emim are all about. The Gemara says that it's also lehanos mel mezeh bli bracha. You're not allowed to get hana from this world without a bracha. Lashem artzum lo, the whole world belongs to God. Who are we to take God's world without a bracha? That's what the Gemara says. Tira Lashem artzum lo on the one hand. On the other hand, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem artzum asal v'nei adam. Kan kodem bracha, kan liachar bracha. Before you make a bracha, it's all Hashem's. Once we make a bracha, it's Hashem allowing us to have it. It's a matir. When the Rambam describes Birchas HaMitzvah, the Rambam writes, Kishem, just like you make a bracha on Birchas HaNe'emim, so too you make a bracha on a mitzvah. Why Kishem? What is it with Birchas HaNe'emim? Anything to do with Birchas HaMitzvah? So says Rav Soloveitchik, Birchas HaMitzvah is also a matir. You can't show up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like showing up to the mashal I always give, like showing up to the White House and saying, I'm ready to serve, I'm ready to be the Vice President. Who the heck are you? We don't want you to be the Vice President. Go back to North Windmere and, you know, play shul with your, whatever, 70 Balabatim. You know, who are you? Why did you come here? Who do you think you are? We're going to go and say, oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, ready to serve, reporting for duty. Here's my lulav, here's my tefillin. Who are you? You need a matir to serve. You need to consult the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam, do you mind if I... Can I get you something? Can I... Yeah, so that's the Birchas HaMitzvah. It's Midrabanan, but that's how Chazal were Misakin Birchas HaMitzvah. Tefillas HaDerech, the Gemara says, Beferish, is what? Himalech Bekoncha. What is that? It's a matir. I want to go, but I can't go, because I can't do something like this without consulting the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a matir. The Mela, you understand Rabbeinu Yonah very well. Why is Rabbeinu Yonah comparing this to tefillin? Because if you missed your matir at the beginning of putting on tefillin, you could still get it later. Because you see, what's matir you to continue serving the Ribbono Shel Olam? What's matir you to continue going on the road? Okay, so you didn't get permission for the first 10 miles. Get permission for the next 10. Rashi Shita is... It's a matir. It's not shaykh to say a matir when you're almost done already, or when you're already on. Oh, do you mind that I did that already, God? It's a little too late for a matir. Machlokas Rishonim over here. Both sides might view it as a matir. They both might view it like a Birchas HaMitzvah in the matir sense. So it's a question of when does it become too late for the matir. Rashi would say the way the Me'iri says explicitly, it's not called being nimlach bekoncha, because what are you saying? Ribbono Shel Olam, is it okay if I go travel? Well, you're already traveling. What are you asking me? Whereas Bahag might say, the way Rabbi Yon understands it is, not is it okay if I go out to travel, is it okay if I continue to travel, is it okay if I travel the next little bit? That the journey could be split up. Which would mean that Rashi views it as one trip. Everything that, and the Tefillah Sederach is when the trip begins. The Bahag will say, who's to say it's one trip? First mile is one trip, and the next mile might be another trip, and another trip, and another trip that are just happening consecutively. Who says you have to call it one trip? Oh, it's too late. No, I'll get permission for the next part. This idea that a Birchas HaMitzvah is connected to Birchas HaNenin in this way, and therefore comes together with Tefillah Sederach in this way as well, I think is explicit in tomorrow's Daf Yomi. Any Daf Yomi people here? Not yet. Brachas Daf Beis, right? Maybe. Okay. So tomorrow's Daf Yomi, it's a very Pashtun Mishnah you'll follow, even though it's middle of Nida. In middle of Nida, we have in middle of the parak, in Basimin, the Mishnais just take you on a tour throughout all the Shas. In Sanhedrin, and all over the place. All over, Kodjim and Taris, and whatever. So one of the Mishnais says, every Mishnah, what do all the Mishnais have in common? They all have, sometimes, every time you have A, you have B, but sometimes you could have B and not have A. That's the structure of every Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, anything that's ton bracha achrona is ton bracha rishona. You never have something that you make a bracha achrona on and don't make a bracha rishona on. But you do have things that you make a bracha rishona on and not a bracha achrona on. Says Gemara, like what? What do you ever have a bracha rishona without a bracha achrona? So Gemara first says, vegetables. There's a shita in Maseches Brachos, you don't make a bracha on vegetables, bracha achrona on vegetables. Greenery. I finally got pshat. I'm losing weight this summer. Thank you for noticing. But I finally got pshat. Lost 15 pounds in the last month. Not bad, right? So I finally, thank you. So I finally got pshat though, because my wife spoke to a nutritionist, and nutritionist has exact measurements of how much protein you're allowed to have, how much dairy you're allowed to have, how much fruit you're allowed to have, how much this you're allowed to have, greenery as much as you want. I could eat pickles from today to green vegetables you could eat all day long. Lettuce, pickle, whatever you want. As much as you can stuff your face with it all day. It doesn't count against the diet. What's pshat? It doesn't count against the diet. There's no mamashes did. So there's a sheet of Maseches Brachos. You don't make a bracha achrona on that because there's nothing to it. The Gemara says, yeah, but we don't pass them that way. So the Gemara says, okay, I can think of something else that needs a bracha rishon and no bracha achrona. Water. The Gemara says, yeah, we don't pass them that way either. So Gemara says, I got another one. A mitzvah. You make a bracha rishona and no bracha achrona and a mitzvah. Gemara says, nah, but there were these b'nei ma'rava that used to make a bracha when they took off their tefillin. A bracha achrona and tefillin. Machlokas, Tosfos, and Ramban. Only tefillin or every mitzvah? Okay. But they made a bracha achrona and tefillin. So Gemara says, okay, fine. Birchas hareach. When you smell, a good smell, there's no bracha achrona, only bracha rishona. Play the old Sesame Street game. Which one of these is not like the rest? Four possibilities the Gemara had. On greenery, on water, on a mitzvah, and on a smell. Greenery, water, and a smell are all what kind of bracha? They're all birchas hananin. How did birchas mitzvah sneak in there? What does it have to do with the whole discussion? Ton bracha rishona, chrona. Elamai be'etzim yusodo, it's the same thing. It's a matir. And that's what the Gemara is saying. That it fits in with all the others. And Mele fits in with Tefillah Sederach also. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah might be driving at when he compares it to Birchas HaMitzvah. We should probably take a look at what the Halacha says, you know, at the end of the day. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the source number 24, Omro Sa'achar Shechzik B'Derech. You say Tefillah Sederach once you're ready on the road. Ve'ein la'omra, Ela im kein yesh lo leilich parsa. Avol pochus im parsa lo yachton bebaruch. Ulechadchi lo yom rosa beparsa rishona. What's he saying? And then, one second. Vim shachach mil omer yom rosa kol zman shu bederuch bulvach lo yetok parsa asmuch al ir shorotzo lo lulba. Three things he says. How many shittos do we have what ad parsa means? We had Rashi that Ad Parsa means within the first Parsa. We had Rashi's reading of the Bahag that if the entire trip is a Parsa. Right? And we have the Rashi's reading of the Bahag that if you have a Parsa left. Says the Shulchan Aruch, yes, that's correct. Right? He starts off by saying, "Ein lo omra unless you have to go parsa." Rashi's reading the Bahag. L'chadchili yomer osad parsa rishona. L'chadchili shri like Rashi. But that's within Rabbeinu Yonah's understanding of Rashi. Right? That you got to say it within the first parsa l'chadchili, but in the Evid you can still say it later on. Vim shachach mila omra yomer osad kol zman shu b'darach b'vach lo yotok parsa smuch l'ir. The Rashi's understanding of the Bahag. So they're all correct. Alamai, we assume like that reading of Rashi, that if you missed it in the first parsa, you could still say it. You could still say it afterwards, after the first parsa. Interestingly, what does he say? That if you're going on a road less than a parsa, he doesn't say not to say it. What does he say? Lo yachtam v'baruch. Don't say it with a baruch. Why does he just say not to say it? Is there anything wrong with asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save you from Chai Yisrael and list him and whatever? You could say he brought some right now. You could always daven for more things. That's what we saw from Shurmach yesterday. That it's a same, or the Debrecin, we say more tefillos. Say separate tefillos for airplanes and you daven. Halvai sheyisbal kol hayom kulo. Just daven. Why not? Doesn't hurt. But as a bracha, Shem Hashem. Then you're going to risk bracha levatala. Okay. There's a few more marmal comments, so I have to run to the shul to give another shir. Tomorrow we're on to the next topic. Mitzvah Hashem. Tomorrow's regular time. How many more weeks? What?